Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! From the DolphinsTalk.com studios, you are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, June the 19th, and we got a good show for you today. We got a few things to talk about. Later on in the podcast, I'm going to do a mailbag. As I said on the show last week, I've gotten so many emails over the course of the past few weeks. Everyone on the site who follows the podcast and who visits our site and who interacts with us is always so kind and so nice, and they're sending me tweets, they're sending me emails and such. And some of the times it's just, you know, thank you for the good work and all that stuff, but sometimes it's people with questions. So I went through all the emails, and there was a lot of them, folks, probably over 100, and I didn't go through all of them because I'm going to do a few questions each show. But and some of the questions were kind of repetitive as well, where multiple people sent in these excuse me, the same type of question and stuff. So I would just pick one. I can't respond to each one. But later on in the show, I'll respond to, you know, 7, 8, 9 questions. And we'll talk about them, and I'll do a little mailbag segment, which, like I said, this time of the year, especially now after the OTAs, after the minicamp, when there's really not much to talk about, this is the perfect time of year for mailbags and to interact with you, the listeners, who have questions and stuff, whether it's on our site or whether it's just related to the Miami Dolphins on the field product. So we will have that later on in the show. Let me start off the show by doing some website housekeeping. Let's just get it right out of the way. Over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks, our website, DolphinsTalk.com, is going to get a total makeover, a total redesign. I met with our web designer this week, and laid out what I am looking for in the site. He is working on that now. He sent me a rough draft of what the site will look like today, and it's close. We're not there yet. There's still some things we have to work on, still some things we have to tweak, but we're in the next 2 to 3 weeks, look for a complete overhaul of our website, DolphinsTalk.com. It's going to be more streamlined. It's going to be easier to find stuff. It's just going to be overall a much better site, as our website and specifically this podcast has grown over the past 2 to 3 years. We sort of have outgrown the platform we're on now, and we needed to make some changes, and we needed to sort of pick up the pace and stay up with the time. So we're going to have a new website in a couple weeks. Like I said, 2 to 3 weeks, probably first week of July, it should be up and running by then. I wouldn't think it'd take any more time than that, but there's a lot to it. There's a lot of work. And our web designer who is working on this, he's putting in a lot of hard work, and it's going to look great, folks. I promise you it's going to look great. And it's just going to be more interactive. It's going to have more links. It's going to have more things to find. We're going to be, by far, your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, where no matter what you want related to the Miami Dolphins, you head to the main page of DolphinsTalk.com. We're going to have it for you right there on the main page. So be on the lookout for that in about 2 to 3 weeks. Like I said, about the first week of July, we will have that ready to go, and we will release that to the world. The podcast, like I said, this time of year, look, in season, we do this show every day, Monday through Friday, and this year we're going to have a Sunday show. We're going to have 2 Sunday shows this year, and we do the show all day. This time of year, though, as we're in mid-June, there's really not that much to talk about, but we're going to try to do 2 to 3 shows a week. We have some guests line up. In fact, this Thursday, Tom is going to host the podcast, as he has a guest lineup to talk about the Miami Dolphins, someone you're going to want to hear from. So Tom will be doing the show this Thursday, And he has a guest you're all going to know and love and want to hear from, talk about the Miami Dolphins. So be on the lookout for that. But really, this time of year, June and July, there's really not much to talk about until the final week of July when we start to get to training camp. So the next, you know, 6-7 weeks, it's going to be slow. And we're going to be fewer podcasts. And everyone on the site's going to rest up a little bit. And everyone's going to take some time off, enjoy the sun, be at the beach, and work on their tan. We're still going to have new stuff up on the website. We're still going to do 2 to 3 podcasts a week, but it's going to be slower. And as we ramp up to probably the last week of July, first week of August, when we are going to unleash a lot of new content, and we'll be back to doing the show 5-6 days a week as we start to get ready for the 2018 season. Another announcement is in about 3 weeks or so, roughly, we're going to be adding a third podcast to this website. DolphinsTalk.com will be adding its third podcast to the website. Right now we have this show, the DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the main podcast. We have the Jeff and Landon Show, and those guys should have a show out in about a week or two. So we got those two podcasts. In a couple weeks, I'm thinking second week of July or so, roughly, I've talked to the guys who are going to be hosting the show. We are going to be adding a third podcast to our network, a third podcast to our website. So be on the lookout for that. When it comes to the Miami Dolphins podcast, we are the site you want to be at. We will be adding a third show to this website. So we're going to have, when it comes to podcasts, when it comes to audio, we are the site for that. So a third podcast will be starting up soon on our website. Like I said, second week of July, roughly, is when that will debut. So that's all the housekeeping for the site. I think I got through it all. New website design, most likely first week of July. Tom's going to be hosting the podcast this Thursday with a special interview of someone you will want to hear from. We have a new podcast starting up here on this website, the third podcast on DolphinsTalk.com, roughly second week of July or sometime around there. And in this time of year in the offseason, expect 2 to 3 podcasts from us a week, unless major news breaks, and of course we'll always be here. But that's what you can expect for June and July, as things are kind of slow. So, let's get to some news. Today, yesterday, Monday, the Miami Dolphins signed their last rookie. The last rookie who was unsigned, which was the second-round pick, Mike Gesicki, out of Penn State. They signed him to a 4-year deal worth approximately $6.6 million per the Palm Beach Post. He was the last rookie to sign. Miami now has all their rookies under contract, and they can start to look at the money they got left over, see if they want to sign any free agent who's out there, see if they want to maybe make a trade to pick up someone from another team who might have a contract that's not at the vet minimum level and have a little something to it. Or they might just say, we're done, we're going to save, and this is our roster as is right now, and we'll save the rest of the money and carry it over to 2019, or... we'll just hold on to it in case of an emergency, i.e. if someone drops in training camp like Ryan Tannehill or Raekwon McMillan, anything like that. So they have a little bit of an emergency fund. But right now, Miami has signed all their rookies. They are all set, and they have their roster under contract. We'll see what they do with the remaining money. I still think at some point, and I was tweeting with Omar Kelly last weekend about this, actually, and I picked his brain, and I asked him if he thought Miami would sign a defensive tackle before training camp, because that's the one spot on this team where they're still a little thin. I know many fans and many in the media think Miami's all set there because they got Vincent Taylor, Devon Godchild, Akeem Spence, and Jordan Phillips, and there are a few guys behind them as well on the roster. But really, I think that's the weakest part of this team, because I'm still not sold on Vincent Taylor being a rotational guy you can count on. Hakeem Spence is a nice player. He's never been anything special in the NFL. Jordan Phillips, you never know what you're going to get from him, let alone game to game or play to play. And Godchild, you know, you got to be wary of the sophomore slump. So if they add a body to this roster, I would think it would be at defensive tackle. And Omar Kelly said he thinks it's not out of the question, But if they do, it will be after training camp starts. He thinks they're going to give these guys a serious look that they already have on the roster and then decide if they need to add somebody, which makes sense. That makes sense. He's not out of line there, Omar, with that thought. But I think if they do add somebody with the remaining salary cap space they have left, look, they might not add anybody, but if they do add somebody, it will probably be at defensive tackle. Because that, right now, if you look at this roster, is the biggest question mark on this team. Tight end, they're very young and very inexperienced, but you got a bunch of guys. You got like five guys or so. And someone will stand out. Someone will be good enough, and they'll be okay there. Linebacker, to me, a lot of question marks still, but they're athletic there. They got more depth than they had in years past. I think they can get by with what they got there. Defensive tackle is a concern, because if they cannot stop the run without Sue, it's going to be a long year, because teams will just run up the middle line and play after play after play. And if they cannot stop the run, it's going to be a huge issue for this team in 2018. So if they look to add a body, and look, when I say add a body, I don't mean add a big name guy, add a Pro Bowl. I'm talking about adding a veteran who's been in the league for a few years, who's got some experience, who play for the vet minimum or maybe slightly more, who can give you 15 snaps a game, 20 snaps, nothing crazy. That's the type of guy. Someone who's a run stuffer first and foremost, who can just be someone else in that rotation, because I think that's where they need the most help. And I know some people say, well, they got William Hayes. You can slide him inside. True, but you don't want him there too much. William Hayes is an end for a reason. And yes, he can slide inside in certain situations, but you don't want to overuse him there. So we'll see about that. But yeah, so Gesicki signed, and Miami has all the rookies under contract, and the remaining salary cap space is theirs to play with, save, or do nothing and just carry it over. We'll see how that plays out. In other news today, and I want to give credit to Antoine Staley from USA Today. We always have Antoine on the podcast. And like I announced a few weeks back, Antoine, for this upcoming season, starting a training camp, will be a weekly spot on our podcast. He agreed to that. I'm not sure which day each week, but we will have Antoine Staley from DolphinsWire at usatoday.com on the podcast each week. He today got a sort of a sneak peek of the Miami Dolphins Madden NFL 19 player rankings. Now, I will admit, I'm not a huge video game guy. I play very few video games. The amount of hours I play on video games each year, you can probably count on one hand. Okay, that's how little I play. So some of these numbers to me don't mean a lot. But I know, look, I understand Madden's a huge deal in the world of the football fan. And I understand a lot of you people who listen to this podcast love it. So I'm going to just pass the information on. You probably know what this means a lot more than I do, because I don't know what these numbers mean. So, excuse me, the Miami Dolphins players' Madden rankings, the ones that were leaked out. Cameron Wake was ranked, had a rating, I should say, of 88. Rashad Jones, 88. Josh Sitton, 86. William Hayes, 85. Amendola, 83. Kenny Stills, 83. Robert Quinn, 81. Kenyon Drake, 80. And Devontae Parker, 80. Again, I have no idea what those means. And I'm not quite, I'm not the Madden aficionado. I have played it before. Out of the few hours I play each year of video games, most of it is Madden, but I don't even know enough what those numbers mean. I'm a very, very casual video game guy. I wholeheartedly admit it. So I just wanted to pass that along. And those are the Madden player ratings for the Miami Dolphins this upcoming season for Madden. Madden NFL 19. I can't even talk about it clearly because I really don't know enough about it, but it was worth mentioning because I know a lot of you out there listening do play the game. So I'm going to take a quick break right now, and when I come back, we're going to jump into the mailbag and answer a bunch of questions that you, the listeners, have sent in. And we'll get to that right after this quick break.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
All right, we're back, and let's jump right into the mailbag. Like I said, I received, hundreds of emails, so I'm going to try to get through as many as possible over the next few weeks and try to answer, seven, eight, nine emails per podcast. But some of the questions are kind of repetitive, so if three or four people did ask the same question, I'm just going to pick one and answer it. So if I don't read yours specifically on the podcast, no, your question is being answered, but I'm just not reading your email specifically because you understand what I'm saying. Okay. First question comes from Joe in Orlando. Who will have more sacks in 2018, Quinn or Wake? Good question. I'm going to go with Quinn based specifically off of, I think Wake, because of his age, is going to be more of a situational player in 2018. I don't see him being a full-time player on the field playing as many snaps as he has in years past. I think the coaching staff knows they have to limit his snaps. That if they play him as much and they use him as much as they have in years past, he will wear down. He will break down. And you could see someone his age get some serious injuries on the field, which is what you don't want. Wake is still a very productive player. He's had over 10 sacks. I don't even know how many years in a row. And I think Miami wants to keep him fresh. They want him for the whole season, obviously. They want him for the long haul. Because I think they expect that they will be in the playoff hunt late in the year. So they're going to want him for those big games late in the year. And for that, they have to limit how much he's on the field. So based on just opportunity, I'm going to go with Quinn has more. Because I think Quinn back in a 4-3 defense is going to help him. I think he will also play more and be on the field more. Because I do think he is Miami's best. He is their best pass rusher on the roster, and I also think I think being in a new spot, in a new situation, back on the East Coast, closer to home for him, he's going to have a big year. I think he'll have a big year. Now, there is a little risk there with the injuries, because he did have some injuries in years past, but they say he has a clean bill of health, so who am I to question that? So, to answer your question, Joe, I would say Quinn has more sacks than Wake this year, and that's just the way I see it in 2018. We'll see, though, once the games get played. Next question comes from Al in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I hope I said that right. Murfreesboro in Tennessee. Al asks, should Miami bring in a veteran kicker for training camp? I would say yes, but they won't. So if I were in charge in a fictional world, I would bring in a veteran, but I don't think they will unless it's utter chaos. I think Jason Sanders, they used a draft pick on him. They think very highly of him, and I think he's the guy they're going to want to sort of win that job. And I think they're going to do everything possible to help him win that job and put him in a position to win that job. And I don't think signing a veteran kicker who might cost a little money, not going to cost a lot, but he might cost a little money to sort of push him. And if he ever outplayed him in training camp, that would be bad. And that would be really bad. And it would probably force Miami to then release Sanders. I think Sanders, here's what I think is going to happen. Sanders he'll be the kicker for all of training camp. And after the fourth preseason game, if Miami thinks they have an issue with him or it's a little too risky to go into the year when the games really count with a rookie kicker, then I think they'll make a move. But it won't be until after the fourth preseason game. They're not going to bring someone into camp to compete. They already got the other undrafted rookie in camp to compete with Sanders, and I think they're going to do everything possible for Sanders. For Jason Sanders to win this job. So would Miami bring in a veteran kicker for training camp? No, for training camp, but after camp, as they start to get ready for the season, if there's an issue or they think they have an issue on their hand with Sanders, then I could see them signing a veteran and just sort of handing the job as they head into week one in Tennessee. Next question's from Tom. He didn't say where he's from. Tom asked, if Miami has a bad year in 2018, will they fire Mike Tannenbaum but keep, I think he misspelled the name here, but keep Greer and Grace and Adam Gase? Would I think they do that? Yes, I think they do it, but they shouldn't. Because if we have learned anything, especially from the Jeff Ireland era in Miami, is you cannot force a... You cannot force a marriage, let's just say. The executive vice president has to be able to pick his general manager, his head coach. The general manager has to be able to pick his head coach. They all have to work in unison, and I don't see it being productive if the year were to go bad, which hopefully it doesn't, but let's just say it does for Tom's question here. If it were to go bad, I don't see how you force out Mike Tannenbaum. And then, I mean, what executive vice president would take the job knowing he has no power to fire the head coach or general manager? So you're only making this move if the 2018 season goes bad. And if the 2018 season goes bad, you know, it's got to be some of the fault of the head coach and the GM. So you're going to tell someone walking in, you're the new VP, but you can't touch a head coach and GM when you're coming off a bad year, and you're really coming off two bad years in a row. Nobody worth anything would take the job. It would be toxic in Miami, and it would make no sense. With that said, it's exactly something owner Stephen Ross would do. It really is. He would head out there and find someone who would be desperate enough to be the vice president, who would take on the general manager and the head coach, and it'd be a toxic situation in Miami that just wouldn't work. If you're going to fire one, you got to fire all three. It's the only way this works. The vice president, general manager, and the head coach have to be on the same page. They have to have the same vision. You can't have a fraction. That's what we had in the Joe Philbin time in Miami, and it didn't work. It blew up in their face, and it was an utter, unmitigated disaster. So if the 2018 season were to go bad, like I said, hopefully it's not, but if it were, here per Tom's question he sent me, I think, would Miami just fire Tannenbaum? They probably would. It'd be a mistake, though. If you fire one, fire all three. It's an all-or-nothing type of deal. They all hitched their wagon for the 2018 season with these moves they made. With Landry being gone, with Tannehill taking the pay cut, sort of extending his time in Miami by a year or so, and all the moves they made by not taking a quarterback in round one when they could have easily moved up a spot or two to grab one. They all hitched their wagons, all three of them, to this roster. So it's not fair just to fire one and Mike Tannenbaum. You either fire them all or you fire none in my book. And I guess the caveat here would be, and this really is the caveat, you would say who would take this job, who would want this job. You'd be forcing the head coach and the general manager on a VP. The person who would take the job probably and wouldn't mind having those guys forced on him is none other than Dan Marino. But I don't even know if he's ready for that job. Look, we all love Marino. We're all fans of the Dolphins. He's a god. We get it. But I'm not even sure if he's ready yet for that role. But he'd be the guy who would take the job and probably wouldn't have an issue retaining Greer and Gase. But like I said, I'm not sure that's a good answer because I'm not sure Dan is ready for that job. Next question. Is there any chance Miami gives Jordan Phillips or Devontae Parker an extension prior to the season? That is from Rick in Maine. Rick, if they do, they're out of their ever-loving minds. Those guys, there's been many bad drafts in recent Miami Dolphins history. And the 2015 draft, you know, it's not as bad as some others, but it ranks right up there with some bad ones. Because round one and round two, Miami drafted two dogs. And by two dogs, I mean two guys who just unmotivated, Never live up to the potential, never live up to the hype in DeVante Parker and Jordan Phillips. Just two guys who just can't get the job done on the field. DeVante Parker, as I always say, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Just a guy who never produces on the field when you need to in a big spot. Always hurt. It's always something. And just a guy who, you're not that impressive. So even if he, if he had the training camp of his life where he stayed healthy, he just, every practice he played out of his mind, and it seems like it's the year where he has put, I still wouldn't give him an extension. I'd roll the dice. Because honestly, even if he has one good year, I wouldn't bank on him having more than one good year. Miami has his fifth-year option, so there's no reason to hand him an extension. Even if he blows up and has a great season, I still wouldn't give him one after the year. I would just play out the fifth-year option, honestly. So there's no reason to hand him an extension, period, at all. Jordan Phillips is actually my fear. And it's my fear because of what I talked about at the start of the show, in that Miami is so thin at defensive tackle that if he plays, well, I don't think Phillips will get one prior to the season. So to answer your question, Rick, no. But if Phillips, let's say in the month of September, the first three or four games, let's say he plays out of his mind, it would be the Mike Tannenbaum thing to do to give this guy a huge contract middle of the year, extend his contract, pay him a boatload of money, and then all of his motivation would go away, and he'd go back to being the dog player he is, taking off plays, not showing up every game. So that's my fear, is that Jordan Phillips is going to come out really motivated this year, and after three or four games, he's going to get the extension and go back to being, oh, I already got my contract, I got my payday, back to my old habits. So that's my fear with him. And honestly, and I don't care, this is just me speaking, I don't care how well he plays this year, Jordan Phillips is somebody I do not want to see on Miami's roster in 2019. Some guys, like we talk about in this podcast, like Charles Harris and some others, are just easy to root for. Charles Harris, Minkah Fitzpatrick, with their actions off the field, their actions on the field, all the hard work they put in, you read nothing but positive things. They're easy, easy guys to root for. Jordan Phillips is not an easy guy to root for. In fact, he's an easy guy just to be totally disgusted with as a football player. You don't see the passion. You don't see the heart. You don't see a guy who, I don't want to say he doesn't try. It just seems like he doesn't care as much as some of the other guys on the field. So if this is his final year in Miami, I won't shed a tear over that. So hopefully Jordan Phillips does not get an extension prior to the season, in the middle of the season, or he's re-signed after the season, if you're asking me. Couple more questions here. I see this on Twitter a lot. Is Zach Thomas a Hall of Fame linebacker? It's from Jason in Hollywood, Florida. Jason, yes, I do see this a lot also on Twitter. And it's one of those questions where, look. We had on Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald. He is the Miami Dolphins representative for the Hall of Fame, in that once someone is nominated and they head through the process, the guy who gives the speech to sort of plead their case is Armando. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, go back to our podcast. I want to say on February 14th or 15th, I think it was the 15th of February, when we had Armando on. And we're going to have him on again soon. I talked to him last week. It's tough because people just line up the stats between Urie Lacker, who is heading into the Hall of Fame this year, and Zach Thomas, and they're almost identical. So if one goes in, how come not the other? The difference is, and you could say it's not fair, that's fine, I'm just telling you about the reality of the situation. The three best middle linebackers of that era, in order, are one Ray Lewis, two Urie Lacker, and three Zach Thomas. And I'm sorry, the third best middle linebacker of that era ain't getting into the NFL Hall of Fame. It's just a fact. That's number one. Number two, Ray Lewis played on one of the all-time great defenses in NFL history. When you talk about the great teams on that side of the ball in NFL history, everybody talks about the Chicago Bears in 1985. That's fine. Next would be that Ravens team. So, and which Ray Lewis was the big part of. He was in the middle. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He was the main guy. So he gets credit for that. And plus, Ray Lewis was just an animal. Clearly a notch above someone like Zach Thomas. Urlacher is ranked second, one step above Zach, because A, Urlacher went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as a starting quarterback. Let that sink in. The Chicago Bears team that went to the Super Bowl, Rex Grossman was a starting quarterback. Why did they go to the Super Bowl? Because Urlacher led that team on defense, and they won games. The offense just played well enough not to lose. The Chicago Bears defense, and in particular, Urlacher, carried that team to a Super Bowl. Yes, they lost, but they got there. And they got there in large part due to Brian Urlacher. That's number two. Number three, in this one, if you could say it's not fair, and it's not fair, but it's also just a reality. Zach Thomas never played in big playoff games in January. He just didn't. He never went far into the playoffs. He never went, he just never played in big games in January. And that's when the world's watching. You know, when you get to the playoffs, there's only one game per time slot. And the whole NFL world, the whole NFL media, every sports reporter, every radio broadcaster, every TV guy is watching that one game. And Urlacher had a lot of games in the playoffs where he played big and he won and he shined. Zach Thomas didn't. Okay? It's just the way it is. And you can say it's not fair. It's not his fault. He can't do it by himself. I get it. But that's why Zach Thomas isn't a Hall of Fame linebacker. Now, in a perfect world, as fans of the team, would we love to see Zach get in? Yes, we would. But I'm sorry, he's not. I mean, it's just, he's not. And I know it's not fair, and I know it sucks. And it's, you know, it is what it is, though. He's not going to get in. He's just not. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see I'm wrong. Everyone, and I've talked to many people about this. Like I said, I had on Armando on this podcast. We went at it in depth at the end of that show. At the end of that, after we talked about all things about the Dolphins, the last thing we talked about was the Hall of Fame. And he told you what goes on in that room and what those people think about. And I've talked about it with other people who sit in that room, who vote and have a say. And they all say the same thing. So they're all saying the same thing. So you can spin this any way you want. He's just not getting in. And it's just something I think fans of the Miami Dolphins are just going to have to live with. It's sort of like Webb. Richmond Webb should be in the Hall of Fame. And if you put their cases next to each other, Richmond Webb has a far better case than someone like Zach Thomas. Far better. As Webb, you know, left tackle, he protected Marino. He played in big playoff games. He went to an AFC title game. He played in big games in the playoffs. He went up against Bruce Smith two, sometimes three times a year and shut him down time after time. Richmond Webb is the case. If you're a fan of the Dolphins and you're upset about someone not being in the Hall of Fame, you point to Richmond Webb. You point to Richmond Webb. He's the guy who's gotten screwed. And one more thing on Zach. I know a lot of people say, well, Jason Taylor, he played on the same teams as Zach, and he got in first time. True. A couple differences. One, Jason Taylor won A. He won a Defensive Player of the Year award. He also played a position where he wasn't the third best pass rusher of his era. He was slightly better. He was one of the elite pass rushers of his era. And also his time with the Jets, he did get to an AFC title game. So there's that. So that helps his case a little, why he got in instead of Zach. But I know it's a controversial topic. It gets many Miami Dolphins fans heated. And look, I would love to see Zach get in. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. And I hope Zach gets in, because if he does, I will be the first one down there sitting in Canton, Ohio, watching him get inducted. I just don't think it's going to happen. Two more questions. And this one's really good. This is a good question. If you want to think about a question to send in to me, this is a good one. Because I never even thought of this, but it is a good question to ponder. This is from Matthew in Albany. Is there a chance Miami brings Sue back after this year when he is a free agent again and the Fins have more cap space next offseason? Now, that's a good question, because we know that Ross loves Sue. Absolutely loves Sue. And we also know that Sue is a great player. And he's right. Miami's salary cap situation next offseason is much better. And Sue wouldn't demand the outrageous number he got with his first contract in Miami. I think for the Rams, he's only making $14 million this year, somewhere around there. I might be wrong. Let me look this up real quick. But I believe it's only $14 million this year with the Rams. Ndamukong Suh contract. Let's see here. The deal is worth $14 million per Adam Schefter. Yep. Suh had lucrative offers but took less money to go to the Rams. Okay. So is there a chance he could wind up back in Miami? There's a chance. But if I had a guess, I'd say no. But it's not the craziest thought in the world because, like I said, Miami, they're going to need help at that spot in years to come because they really don't have an answer there. And Sue will be on the market next year. He clearly loved the South Florida region. Like I said, Ross loves him. Would he come back? It's not the craziest thing to think of. I'd probably lean towards no because I know there was a little, not necessarily bad blood like there was with Landry behind the scenes, but, you know, everyone wasn't in love with Sue. It was reported by people close to the team that he didn't really follow the plays that were called. He just ran wherever he wanted to run at times. He wasn't seen as being a leader all the time and stuff like that. So he wasn't loved by all. But you also have to remember, the defensive line coach with the Lions, he is in Miami now, who worked with Sue many years. I know they got rid of him this year, but that's more of a financial situation. But, you know, he would love to have him back. I think Ross loves him, absolutely loves him, so he'd make a play to get him back if he has any say in this. So it's not the craziest thought in the world. With that said, I wouldn't hold your breath. I just don't see it happen. I think Miami sort of, I would say, especially with this group in place of Chris Greer, Mike Tannenbaum, and head coach Adam Gase, if they're in power next offseason, which they are hopefully, it seems like they learned a lesson of not to get tied up with guys with huge deals. And I think with Sue, even at a pay cut, he's still getting a huge deal. And I just don't think they want to get tied up on that. So I don't think it'll happen, but it's not the craziest thought. And something I never even had on my radar to think about. So that's a great question there from Matthew in Albany. Last question from Lisa in Lakeland. I heard about your show when you got a shout out on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Okay, thank you. Where's the question? What is the key to the Finns making the playoffs in 2018? In my opinion, the key, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that damn offensive line. As we saw in the Super Bowl, and we see every year in the playoffs, teams that are crappy on defense can go far in the playoffs, but you better be able to score points consistently. And for the Miami Dolphins, you better protect Ryan Tannehill in 2018. Otherwise, it's going to be a mess. And they also have to run the ball a lot better this year and run the ball more. So that offensive line needs to play like a Swiss watch. And they need to run like a Swiss watch. They need to have no flaws and be a well-oiled machine. If the offensive line plays well, I think with Drake and Frank Gore, they're going to run the ball well. I think if you give Tannehill time with all the receivers he has, even though Landry, with all the receivers he has, he will spread the ball around, and this offense will move the chains and put up points. If the offensive line, which I know, look, the only major difference really is Sitton, because Kilgore, I think he's a slight upgrade over Pouncey, but, you know, he's a good player. Let's not get nuts here. I mean, he's good. You got the same left tackle. You're going to have the same right tackle. And at right guard, Jesse Davis, he gets way overhyped. Nice player, but he's really not that special. Sitton's the key. If Sitton can make that offensive line not elite, not top, just has him play good, I think Miami will win a lot of games this year. So the key for Miami making the playoffs in 2018, if you're asking me right now in June 19th, is that damn offensive line. If they play well, I think they'll win games, and I think they can be a factor in the AFC in 2018. The offensive line's key. Because like I said, look at the Super Bowl. The Patriots, they couldn't stop the Eagles, and the Eagles couldn't stop the Patriots. Neither team played a lick of defense, and they're playing in the Super Bowl. And you look at other teams that went far in the playoffs. I mean, you look at that game, Pittsburgh versus Jacksonville. Neither team could stop each other that day. Being able to play, you have to win games in the NFL. You have to put up points consistently. You have to be able to move the ball consistently. It's an offensive league. All the rules are skewed towards the offense. It's offense, offense, offense. And if you can't take advantage of the rules they put in place, you're not going to win games. So it's all about the offense. So the offensive line is key for Miami. It must play better than it did last year. Last year, the offensive line did not play good enough. And that's the key for the 2018 season, Lisa. So that's it for the mailbag. And like I said, every podcast I do and I host between now, probably through training camp, I'm going to try to answer a few questions. Some days it might be three or four. Some days it might be more. Like today was, what, eight or nine, whatever it was. So that's going to be a new feature here in the offseason because there's really not that much to talk about. Like I said, rest of the week, Tom will have a show on Thursday with a special guest you all going to want to hear from. So be on the lookout for that. And I'll probably do a show over the weekend as well. Also, like I said, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. And be sure to follow the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Miami Dolphins End Zone, Fanatics, and Dolphinatics. So, that's all I have for today. Everyone have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.